what became a cult. Now it's time for Babysitter's Club.
Hi, and welcome to, surprisingly, the Babysitter's Club.
Special edition.
Just for today. Nothing has changed except that we've got a special guest today, and it's a podcast about the Great Sitter Cycle by The Hand That Shakes, the Princess of the Prince of Town, St. Annabelle Matthews Martin, Stormborn, Soul Skinner, Mother of Clocks, and Bane to Bat. She is, of course, the first of her name, the last of her kind, and the last hope for humankind. And what are we doing here? Why is this happening? I'm Jack Shepherd.
I'm Tanner Greenring. Rachel, thank you to the show. Quick question. How do the girls do school?
Okay. I got a few things. One, thank you to the show is what you said.
Thank you to the show. Rachel, quick question.
That's issue number one. Then I've got two more.
Yeah.
Two.
Sorry, Rachel. Just a moment.
Rachel's not here yet.
Oh, okay.
Which is going to be joining us. We've started our Zoom call a little bit early. I thought I'd get some of this housekeeping out of the way, explain to people what's happening. For the Strange Bedfellows heads...
Yeah. This is a little bit of a taste.
This is a taste of what was before.
Yeah.
But we're going to be having Rachel Schuchert, who is the creator, the brains behind the Babysitter's Club TV Netflix video novels.
Video novels, right. TV novels.
To talk to us about mostly why we weren't invited to be in the show, I think.
Yeah, and you know, putting the screws in a little bit for season three, seeing if there's a way we can get on board with that production.
Oh, so. And you know what? Guess what? We didn't do tell anyone on our show that we are actually talking about the Netflix show on our. I got a very nice email today from someone who gave me a bunch of very cool suggestions for lesbian romance novels that we should read, and I'm almost certainly going to take them up on. Those suggestions, but at the end of their email, they said, "I really love the new show. I'm just really sad that you guys aren't covering the Netflix Babysitter's Club."
We
forgot to tell everyone that we're doing it on the Patreon, patreon.com/bscc podcast, and that was and that's you know,
it's there. It's
we
should waiting
have told,
for
we
you.
Told people.
There's already a few episodes it's up. It's for you to go enjoy. So please do go enjoy it.
Okay, and now somebody is entering our waiting room.
Oh.
Shall I let them in?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see who it is. Let's see what's behind door number one.
I hope it's not Beetlejuice.
I don't think it's going to be Beetlejuice, but now we've said it twice.
Yeah, and can't say it again.
Yeah, we got to be careful. Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Rachel.
Hi,
welcome
guys.
Back.
Thanks. Nice to see
super
you.
Super quick thing right off the bat.
Yeah.
Jack and I have said the name BEETLEJUICE.
Beetlejuice.
We have said it by accident.
No, oh God! I was gonna say we've already said it twice. Please do not say it again.
I don't think it counts. I wasn't on the thing.
Okay.
Well, we're gonna find out. Oh, this is the most disastrous way to open an interview of all time. is invoking his name three times?
Yeah.
It's not what I've been so
I think,
careful in trying to prep.
Well,
this
he'd be here already, right? I feel like he pops up really fast after it happens.
I don't. He's pretty theatrical, you know. Like,
yeah, you like your dinner starts dancing.
Yeah,
and then you realize that.
Yeah,
you're done.
I don't. Everything looks still normal, but I guess.
Yeah,
okay.
I guess we'll see.
Maybe we're in the clear.
Maybe he's probably busy. Yeah.
He's got that Broadway show.
Yeah, he's reopening on Broadway, but not until April of 2022.
Okay.
Well, welcome back.
Thank
Rachel
you.
Rachel Schuchert, we're so delighted to have you on the show. We have been watching.
Oh, good.
It would
be harder if you hadn't. But I knew you'd been watching because I subscribed to your Patreon.
Good.
Oh,
good. We
yeah.
were just talking about how we forgot to tell everyone.
Yeah, we did forget to tell everyone.
I mean, we told some people, but we haven't very effectively told people. So
told the inner circle.
There are a number of loyal listeners. It's going well. My wife is very devotedly only watching the episode as our episode comes out, which is showing a lot of restraint because she those little morsels are very easy to take down like five at a time.
No, they're very short.
I guess if our listeners want to join Rachel, the showrunner and creator of the Babysitter's Club Netflix show, in listening to our recaps of it, they can do it at patreon.com/BSCC podcast.
Yeah, that's true. That's a true fact. Good. That was very good.
Let me see
special.
How many times I can get that in.
It was smooth.
into this conversation today.
How's it going? How is, you have a human child. How is your, I'm correct that you have a human child, right?
I do. Yeah, he's still alive. I still
good.
Have him.
Is he still a child?
He's still a child. Yeah, no, he's actually an alligator. No, he's four. Yeah, he's a human. Yeah. He's a human 4-year old.
Our kids are roughly the same age. Yes. How was Halloween?
Oh, it was great. This was the first year where I feel like he was really looking forward to it with like massive anticipation. Like last year was the first year he'd ever been trick or treating. And I don't think he understood the wonder of it. We were just like, oh, we're going to do this thing. And he was like, oh, okay. And then now he realized, like, he knew what he was in for. So he was very, for days, it was like, is it Halloween yet? How many more days till it's Halloween? Is it Halloween yet? And he already has his costume picked out for next year.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Like the whole thing. Yeah.
Our child became shy. He was excited about it in a way that he wasn't in the past, but it was mostly me just like running up after him and thanking parents for giving him candy because he forgot to say thank you despite the long conversation about it between each house. And then me being like, see, I'm a nice dad.
I know.
My sullen, shy child who just like walked up to you and took a Kit Kat and then just like skulked away is not representative of my family.
I didn't realize how much you would have to compensate for the rudeness of your children as an adult. Like, it's not that I'm not teaching him, it's that he's wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a bad person.
My son is 2, and I think he's finally discovered like what scary is. You know, every time he saw like a skeleton or like a particularly spooky jack-o'-lantern, he would kind of look at it out of the corner of his eye.
Was he scared?
That's scary, right? It's like, yeah, it's very scary.
Very scary.
So
we have
all downhill from here.
We have a house on our block that is genuinely very scary. I feel like everyone on our block gets really into Halloween and there's like a lot. It's LA, you know, I feel like people go really over the top because everyone's like a production designer or something. And, but there's this one guy who lives down the street who every year it's like more stuff. And this year he had a like creepy circus theme to his Halloween decorations. And so when you walk past his house, like it plays like terrifying circus music. And there's all these like animatronic like clowns like moving towards you and like spiders that jump and like a jack in the box. It's like haunted. It was really, it was genuinely scary.
That's scary for grownups.
Yeah. Theo used to be so scared of that house when he was a baby. Like when he was about 1, when we moved here and I would like take him out in the stroller, like before he was even walking. When it was Halloween and we were even just on that side of the street, he would go like, ah!
That's
freak
fair.
Out
That's
until I like
reaction.
Took him to the other side of the sidewalk, like the other side of the street. Now he's more into it, but I still think he was wary. I have a lot of funny pictures of him like regarding this haunted clown, like with barely concealed terror.
My child embraces, like he's into anything that's scary.
That's cool.
He likes, like the other day he was like, he had been put to bed and he was screaming from his room. And I was like, what's up? I like ran in like, what's up, buddy? And he was like, I want to see a picture of the Rancor from Star Wars, which is like a very frightening beast. And I like, I showed it to him. It was like pretty scary. And he was just like, yes. And
then you should show him that movie Audition. It's like a Japanese horror film. Very like psychological, a lot of dread.
Perfect. Yeah.
Incredibly
maybe
gory.
That's one of those like Midsommar or something.
Yeah, that's
a good one.
You think
for
you can
girls.
Handle scary?
Yeah. I'll say about Midsommar, I feel like she overreacted a little bit.
To which part?
Just like, you know, he was like a bad boyfriend, so like break up with him. You don't have to like sew him inside a bear carcass and burn him to death. It just felt a little disproportionate. That's... You know,
very rarely the answer,
and
very rarely.
And when he had to have sex with that girl in like the circle of chanting women, like he was drugged, like they were taking advantage of him. That wasn't fair. I don't think she was fair.
It's a hot take. That's we need that kind of controversial take to kind of do numbers with this podcast.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
The show is great. We're not. watching ahead, so we've watched four episodes.
We've watched four episodes.
We love it. It is so much fun. We're so delighted to have the Babysitter's Club back in our lives. Mm-hmm. It seems like people like it. I was scanning some reviews, and it seems like it's been fairly positive reviews.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Are you happy with the reception?
I am. You know, I feel like we're very lucky to have such a loyal fan base.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and people, I think, loved the first season, and it seems like everyone has sort of come back and is excited to see the girls again, and it's all been going great. I'm just always, like, so proud of them and so proud of the show, and but especially the girls, you know, it's just, like, great for them.
They're so good. I have a Dawn question for you.
Sure.
Yeah.
In your mind, because only you know this, is the fact that Dawn is a different person, is that like a parallel universe thing where it's like, it's a slightly different universe? Is it like a mass hallucination? Do the girls know that something's wrong and they're not saying? So how are you conceiving this?
I conceive it sort of like a replacement cast member on Dynasty, like when Fallon turned into a different Fallon. And the backstory was that she was in that terrible disfiguring car accident and was living under a different name. And then I had to have
Dawn was in a disfiguring car accident?
And then she had to have massive plastic surgery that completely reconstructed her face. And so then she came back with a different face and had to relearn how she was. But Dawn, that all happened to Dawn in 3 weeks she was visiting her dad in California.
We should have picked up on those context clues. And that's our bad. Because we're watching these very, very carefully for clues that you leave for us. Yeah. And that's something we missed.
That's the off-screen storytelling.
Yeah. We've been speculating that it's a face-off situation where she and Sochi Gomez had to
switch faces.
I don't remember. I haven't seen face-off in a long time. I don't remember why they switched faces. Was one of them robbing a bank?
One of them was a criminal, and one of them was a cop, right? John Travolta was a cop, and Nicolas Cage was the criminal. And then they had to switch faces. So John Travolta had to be like a wacky bank robber.
It's a perfect movie. Yeah. It's literally a perfect movie.
Nicolas Cage was a straight-laced family man cop. It was really like, which has more range? Who has more range as an actor? That's the real question of that movie.
Oh, I would say they have exactly equal amounts of range.
Nicolas Cage is the greatest actor of our time.
So
that's an easy answer.
He was a really great actor.
He's amazing. He just like fully commits to the bit no matter what the part is. I really admire that.
John Travolta has had his moments.
What are you going to do if Marble keeps poaching your girls? Because they're so they're all so talented.
I know. At some point, I'm just going to have to let go.
Yeah.
I can't keep them. I mean, you can't keep them down in Stony Brook forever.
I will say, so far, Marvel has expressed zero interest in me or Jack. So we're always going to be available. We'll always be on the table if you need someone to hop in and help if Marvel keeps taking
We're happy to sign a non-compete if that's helpful.
If you need to play Jesse or something like that.
We won't go on any Marvel movies.
So which of the girls would you like to replace?
I could be a Kilborn.
Kilborn?
I could come in as a Kilborn.
Has she been introduced?
No, we sort of made her Amanda Delaney's mom. Only Shannon Kilborn grew up. Like Wendy. I feel like it's like that, you know, it's like when Peter Pan comes back and now Wendy is a grown up, but he's still a little boy. That's what I imagine happening to Shannon Kilborn.
You crossed all your T's and dotted all your I's, because we went and looked this up and Mrs. Delaney has no given first name in the books.
True.
So it could be Shannon.
It could be Shannon. Shannon Delaney. Yeah. Shannon Delaney, nay Kilborn.
It's good.
Maybe
I like it.
She married Max Delaney, even though he was younger. But as you age, it doesn't make such a big difference. The age difference is not so large as you
like
get
four
older.
Years. Yeah.
And then they had a daughter named Amanda after her aunt Amanda, who died in a plane crash.
This is good stuff.
Did you, when you reshape the universe like this, is this something you have to go get Anne's solemn thumbs up on?
Yeah, she
She's
was
like,
a, yeah,
up in her,
she, it's
like,
funny.
High chair.
We do. It's funny what she gets sort of like worried about. But she seemed okay with this. I feel like she's like, oh, yeah. There were a couple other things this season that she had like more questions about that we had to make a little bit more of a case for. But for the most part, she's great. She's there. I think especially after the first season, she was like so happy with it. She was sort of like, whatever you want to do, like, I trust you, which was cool.
That's wow. Good.
They definitely had a
you
lot
could probably introduce some pretty weird stuff into the series.
Yeah. I mean, the Face Off stuff. I would go for it.
I don't know if she knows the whole backstory of the Face Off stuff.
You just said, oh, it's like Face Off. And she's like, oh, okay, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really liked a lot of like that. You'll do like a nod to, in like Claudia and the New Girl.
Yeah.
Like, we know, we get it. It's Ashley Wyeth, but it's a different character. What are you trying to take from the book when you do that? You don't want the conflict, but you do want like the concept of a new girl, that which is kind of more Mallory.
Yeah, it's kind of more Mallory is kind of the new girl. Well, we have sort of a rule that every episode has to have like the title of a book that exists. And sometimes it's a little closer to the plot of the book itself. And sometimes it's not we did that a little bit last season too. Like Claudia and the Phantom Phone Calls was like sort of that story, but there was a lot of other stuff in it. And like Stacey's Emergency this season is like totally different than Stacey's Emergency really like in the books, but it was like a good title. So we take a little bit of inspiration from the titles and then sort of figure out like how to retrofit it. And with that, I just felt like, you know, I really like Claudia and the New Girl, and it felt like the right place to tell that story. But I feel like there's a lot of characters in the books that like come in and they're like very cool, and they tell the girls how the club is stupid, and then they have to sort of learn a hard lesson about like the club solidarity and that you can't break up these friends. I feel like Ashley Wyeth does it in the books, like Lane Cummings does it in the books. And it's great in the books when there's like so much space in between them, but it's hard to just like do like a binge watch where that just keeps happening over and over again.
I'm always relieved when they're not like, when they're not, the girls aren't fighting.
I know. And I also feel like I love the girls so much and they're so great together that there's a lot of storylines in the books where there's some outside character that we're meeting for the first time. And I always try to figure out a way to put the story like on the girls themselves. So it's like a story about, you know, the club girls as opposed to like some external, you know,
I call in my taxonomy of Babysitter's Club books, I call that the cuckoo's egg.
Yes. The cuckoo's egg, exactly. Yeah. So
and like the Superb Rat, which we just talked about today.
Well, that we kept him.
Like, yeah, you kept him, but he's not necessarily like filling the same, it's not about him so much.
Right. Yeah, it's more about her. It's more about Jessie and like who she wants to be.
I'm looking ahead and I see that there is an episode coming up for us pretty soon called Claudia and the Sad Goodbye. And it's so rare that we in life get an opportunity to go back and fix something, fix a tragedy, change something that went wrong. As you probably know, I'm sure you've read it recently, Anne accidentally killed Mimi in her version of it. So yeah. I'm just so delighted that you, like, Because as you're saying, you'll take the title and then like make it about something different. Tell a story you want to tell.
Yeah.
How are you handling that? It's awesome that Mimi's gonna be fine. But like, what is the sad goodbye going to be in that book? In that what are they called? TV video novel.
TV video novel.
Well, she's going to say goodbye to Stony Brook. She's moving away.
Okay. And Mimi's staying behind. Mimi will become
to stay behind
new,
to look after the house.
Yeah. New member of the Babysitter's Club.
Mimi will become vice president of the Babysitter's Club. She can
that's
stay up till
fun.
10.
That's so fun. And it's so nice. It's just going to be nice for us because that like left a scar for me reading that book.
Yeah.
And it'll feel like closure.
That's true.
Like
it was right up there. It was right up there with Mr. Hooper dying.
Yeah, wait. There you go. Oh, wait, Tanner hasn't got that far.
Mr.
Hooper? Hooper's okay, right?
No, Mr. Hooper, okay. You haven't gotten that far. No spoilers. All right, spoiler alert, Mr. Hooper dies.
So we've told you we love the show. So far, we love it. We do have a quibble.
What's your quibble?
Yeah.
All right.
The show is fantastic. There's one very obvious oversight. I'm sure you're aware of it.
Is it that you're not in it?
It's no parts for the boys are in
I'm
it.
I'm sure it's just scheduling or, you know, like,
tell
stuff
you, honestly,
is like,
it was, this is
supply
the thing.
Chains are a mess right now.
It was very hard for me to bring up anybody from the States because of the 14-day mandatory quarantine period in Canada.
Yeah. Well, Jack's not allowed in Canada.
Not really
at all,
allowed in Canada. I am allowed in Canada, but they give me trouble.
What did you do? Do you have a DUI or something?
I was so sketchy at the border once. I was so sketchy. They were right to turn me around. It was like 2008, 2000, Yeah, 2008. I was just so sketchy. I like bungled my own name.
Oh.
What, were you smuggling something in or out?
I don't think so. And I had like, my friend was doing an art show and then we were like, let's go to Canada. And he had like, we had like five desktop computers in the back of the trunk from his art show. And they were like, why do you have these? We were like, it's art. Anyway, they turned us around. And ever since then, I've been getting trouble at the board. But no, please don't let that discourage you from bringing us on for season three. We're also realizing that there's been a bit of a miscommunication. And it's clear that the ball was maybe in our court to pitch concepts to you.
Oh, yeah. Right.
That's going to work for our characters.
To your point, like, you know, we have some room within these episode titles to tweak things a little bit, you know, introduce some new characters.
One of you want to be the older boy and Dawn and the much older boy?
No, absolutely not. I looked at that one and I passed it by. I don't want to be Travis. That's actually in my rider. I can't
be Travis.
The man in blue.
But we do have a few. We've kind of put together a few that we're going to throw at you. If you need to take, if you like any of these and you want to, we'll figure out writing credits later.
Okay.
Yeah. And but you don't have to,
if you
want to
take
react,
the idea and say it's yours, that's actually probably better.
I'm going to put on my glasses and take a pencil out. So.
Okay. Perfect. Good.
Right, and you can sit on these. Don't react right away. Don't say no. You know, just like.
We can workshop, we can tweak them, but it's based on Babysitter's Club books, and then it's doing what you've done so ably, kind of twisting it, making it, giving it a modern edge,
and then
finding a way to get the boys into it.
Mm.
Top back for a second. You can react if the answer is an immediate yes.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yes.
You know,
sorry. So. Yeah.
All right. If I have to take it back to the team.
Yeah. That's fine.
I may have to take it back to the team, you know.
Yeah, and we're not married to any of this stuff, so if you want to mix and match, whatever, we'll figure it out.
Okay.
And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp, except 100% soggier, is going under, both literally and figuratively. Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors, who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign, and a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment, we are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog. If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just going to have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows. Here's my first pitch for you. Stacey's Choice.
Mm.
The reason that Ed McGill never has time for his family is not that he's a workaholic. It's because he's got a semi-popular podcast with a couple of other like biz bros. And it's about like Bitcoin or something. Whatever. Whatever feels modern. Like NFTs. Whatever you need.
Yeah.
And then it's us. We're the guys.
So Ed McGill is my husband. That's a fun idea.
And we'll be the other guys.
You'll be the other guys. What are your?
We'll be the guys.
Do you have names for your characters? Do you have
Jack and Tanner? We're thinking, but you know, we're open to
Mark Markson. I think it's probably going to be what I'm going to call my Dave character. Davison. That's my go-to.
That's good because every other adult man on the show is named Mark in real life.
And then I think I would probably be Goliath Hardbody.
Yeah.
I know about Goliath Hardbody.
Normal American name, you know?
I have a pitch for Goliath Hardbody, actually, which is that
let me get out my glasses and my pencil.
Which is that in the season finale, Goliath Industries wants to buy the Babysitters Club as part of their conglomerate. God,
please.
If the show ever gets canceled, will you please make that the ending, the series ending?
Christy has a difficult decision to make.
I've got one, okay. If you're open to it.
Yeah.
Stacey and the Bad Girls, mm-hmm. Iconic.
It's a lot of Stacey episodes.
A lot of Stacey episodes.
Yeah. We gravitate towards her. Yeah, she's got some interesting narratives. Instead of wanting to be friends with the bad girls, Heather Epstein and Jaki Grant, and doing wine crimes at the You For Me concert, instead, Stacey will meet a couple of funny and relatable wine dads who take her, with Maureen's permission, of course, to a Neil Diamond concert. And she tries to smuggle in wine, but the wine dads cover for her when the cops come, and then she invites them to be honorary members of the BSC, and they'll just sort of like, you know, pop in and out of episodes from that point on.
That's great. Is that sort of Jason Bateman's story in Juno?
Is it?
Is it? He's kind of a wine dad who gets like too close to a teen baby. I guess she's really just babysitting their own child. He's going to adopt her baby. That's it. She's not babysitting for his existing baby.
We can explore that in this episode. It feels like a lot for one episode, but if Stacey's having a baby and we're going to adopt it, that, you know.
Yeah, we've only got 25 minutes to do this stuff. So you got to kill your darlings
a little
bit. No,
I think you're right. I think your pitch is better.
Okay.
All right. This is a very special episode.
Okay.
This is going to be your, you know, you want to do one sad one, one like tearjerker every season, I think.
I feel like ours all wind up being tearjerkers somehow, but yes.
I cried at Superb Rat this morning. I don't know why. It's just like, this would happen to me with a book sometimes.
Yeah.
But like, I was just watching it, taking notes, getting ready to record a podcast with Tanner at like, whatever, 11:30 in the morning. And for whatever reason, when like Jesse finishes her performance and then like, everyone's there and like her mom is supportive, I was like what is happening?
Me too, actually. The part where she like stops being mad at her mom and starts like appreciating that they love her.
I think it may be like a parent, like becoming a parent like broke various parts of me.
Yeah.
And I think that's like things that like affect me differently. Cause I was like, oh, I totally relate to Jesse's mom. She's just trying to be a good mom, but she's having to be mean and like that like resolved. Yeah, it's difficult. Okay, but here's a tearjerker for next season. This is Marianne and the Memory Garden.
Oh, yeah, that's a weird one.
It's a weird one. So instead of Amelia Freeman tragically dying in a drunk driving accident, a local podcaster that the girls love suddenly dies in a tragic podcasting accident.
What's a podcasting accident?
Well, I think that's one of the, this is an advantage of the show, is it's a way to sort of educate people about like the dangers of
some of the dangers of
podcasting. So it'll be, you know, like any very, very special episode, there's going to be a lesson.
So electrocuted maybe.
I think that's probably what happened. And then so with the help of his best friend and co-host who gives a moving speech, the girls dedicate whatever the hip modern update of a memory garden would be. I'm thinking like, a garden in like Animal Crossing.
Oh, yeah. Or like maybe it's like an NFT that they just hang on the wall.
Yeah, that they
create an NFT
that they auction off and then donate the money to your family.
In his memory. And that way, if you decide that one of us, like when we get to the screen test, if you decide that one of us can't act, that person just has to be like in an open casket.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Like
honestly, that might be too much of a role for me.
You'd be like a Law and Order, like a dead body on Law and Order.
Yeah. I got one more.
Okay.
This one is Little Miss Stony Brook and Dawn.
That's my favorite book. That's my favorite Babysitter's Club
Sabrina
book.
Really?
Sabrina Bouvier.
The classic Sabrina Bouvier.
Yeah, most people don't know she was a great niece of Jacqueline Bouvier. That's my head. My head canon.
Yeah, you're a show writer. Your head cannons can just be
it's just canon.
Cannons. If you
I
want,
know, but I don't always realize it.
Don has been tasked with helping a semi-famous podcaster prepare for the Little Miss Stony Brook competition, which, despite its name, is open to all ages and genders. This podcaster's only real talent is peeling bananas with his feet. In podcasting.
Right.
The rest of the BSC has taken it upon themselves to help the first podcaster's co-host win the competition. But both groups are surprised when another podcaster who's been in the pageant circuit for a while challenges them for the tiara. And I was thinking maybe that could be Joe Rogan. He'd be like the Sabrina Bouvier.
He would be like the Sabrina Bouvier. Or maybe Marc Maron. Is Marc Maron maybe the Sabrina Bouvier?
Oh, Marc Maron would be good. Yeah. And he's already involved with Netflix because of Glow. So we can just.
I worked on Glow, for all the Glow seasons.
So you know him.
I know him.
Okay.
Perfect. I feel like this is maybe going to be the one.
This could be the one.
That's perfect.
And we do need a third Mark on the show.
We need more Marks. And we will always happily change our names if that's going to help with this.
My dad's name is Mark. So if I'm on set, he'd probably want to be there too, just to help keep an eye on me.
To be a fourth Mark.
Yeah.
You would have to have a guardian on set.
Right,
yeah.
right.
You've got all of the main cast members need to bring
have to have a guardian. Right.
They do tutoring and stuff like
that. Yeah, they help them do school.
Yeah.
Tanner, this is your chance to ask.
I already asked her. She didn't respond earlier. I mean, she wasn't on the show yet. She hadn't logged on yet. But
Tanner really wants to know how the girls do school.
How do the girls do school?
It's a well-kept secret. And, you can't give away your trade secrets.
No.
Okay, I've got one for you. It's this is Stacy's ex-best friend.
Oh, I like that one.
Stacy is super excited to introduce the BSC members to an old friend from her New York days. But things go off the rails when the rest of the club learns that her former friend is actually two middle-aged podcast dads who used to work at a hip media company in the city but are now only semi-employed.
Right.
Mm. The situation resolves itself when the podcast dads teach the BSC about the meaning of friendship or Christmas or whatever.
Right.
Or podcasting.
Or podcasting.
Like, even you can be semi-employed and make a small amount of money off of podcasting.
I feel like
month.
There's a way to marry all of these dads into recurring dad characters. For example, the wine dad story could be way in Stacy's past, and then she reconnects with these same dads.
This is good.
That's great. It could be like the 70s. Right. Maybe so we've got like mustaches.
Yeah, right. We can have flashbacks to when she met you.
In the 70s. This is great.
In the 70s. Yeah, in Napa.
That's good. That's why you make the big bucks.
She's like, there's something I have to tell you guys. This person that I said was my best friend is two people. They're in their late 50s.
Late 50s might be a bit of too much of an acting.
I can do it. I can do it.
We could do age makeup.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like in a school play, like when you would be like the dad in the Fantastics. You just have to put like little wrinkles with an eyeliner.
Right. And the mustache?
Mustache would be good.
Do I have to grow that or will that be?
Only one of you can have a mustache or we won't be able to tell you apart. One of you can have like the old man stage makeup lines and the other one may have a mustache. You can choose.
I'm a foot and a half taller than Jack, but
yeah,
I think you're right. I think people would probably confuse us.
Well, which one of you wants to have the mustache? We can do camera tests too, obviously, to figure out.
Me. I think it should be me.
Okay, we'll fight this out.
I'll just show up on set with a mustache and be like, what? It's for another role.
I'm replacing
Justice League.
I'm replacing Ted Lasso.
All right, Tanner, you got another one for us?
You want me to do one more?
Yeah.
Okay, so this one, it's a pretty big departure from the source material, but I think it still works. It's Claudia and the Bad Joke.
Mm.
Claudia Classic. Is babysitting for a couple of kids, and she's at the playground with them, and she quietly slips in an AirPod so that she can listen to her favorite podcast. One of the hosts tells a joke so funny that it causes her to fall off of a swing that she's sitting on and break her leg. So that's the bad joke. It's not bad because it was a bad joke. It's a really, really funny joke.
And that's stipulated a number of times in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The joke was like, so maybe you don't, this podcast is
maybe
so
it's a
funny.
MacGuffin. You know, like right. you don't hear the joke, but it's talked about a lot.
We shouldn't hear the joke.
Extremely funny.
Right. Yeah. No, we shouldn't
hear
the joke.
No, you shouldn't hear the joke. Nothing can live up to that. Yeah. But she should just kind of keep clarifying. It's like the podcast is really funny. The joke is really funny.
Yeah. It's like the suitcase in Pulp Fiction. Like, you don't really want to know what's in it.
Right, right, right.
Exactly.
I think she probably wants to get in touch with the host to share her story. Mm-hmm. And then they're like both so sweet and generous that they like invite her onto the show and like cover her medical expenses from the accident and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
I'm really seeing this one as like a bottle episode. It's mostly these two podcast hosts in their podcast studio.
Claudia.
No. I mean, maybe we can like.
It's from like you hear the whole. The girls maybe aren't even in this much.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, maybe it's like. Maybe
it's
happens.
Like a show
some of that stuff
show.
Happens in flashback. Yeah. Yeah. Or it's like implied. I don't know. The writers can like figure
maybe
that
it's
out.
Like a true crime podcast about how this happened to Claudia.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. And then that takes the pressure off of us to be funny because it's like, oh no, we're not the funny podcast hosts. Like we're the true
right. You're telling
hosts,
about the funny
know?
Podcast hosts.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
This happened.
Yeah.
That made this happen.
So I think that one could be good. You know, I think those two, whatever actors you find to play these two podcaster parts, would obviously be on screen quite a bit. So
yeah.
We would want to. You know, make sure that they're getting paid pretty handsomely.
Maybe it ends with them actually unearthing the podcast with the joke that was so funny it made Claudia break her leg. And
that's good.
And that joke is what causes the podcasting accent.
There we go. Yes. And then we can do Marianne and the Memory Garden.
That's good.
So basically,
we've been reading a lot of Sweet yeah. Valley Twins, and every Sweet Valley Twins book ends with like a setup for the next book.
Yeah.
And I think that this is that, you know.
So basically, like what you're pitching is an entire season around these two podcast hosts.
It
sounds like you're pitching it.
From this conversation, it feels like there's a lot of energy there.
Yeah, yeah. There's an arc. You know, especially as the girls are getting older and doing Marvel movies and things, it might be better to have them in the show less.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good idea. So. I think your idea was really good. We should just do the whole next season.
This is amazing. Yeah, this is such a good idea. This is why you do this stuff, and I love it.
And if you want to get us on the call when you call, like Netflix or Walden Media to kind of pitch this idea, we'll back you up.
For sure. Yeah. Good. I may need it.
Okay.
I want to do one more.
Okay.
Here. This one's called Claudia and the Great Search.
Oh, that's the one where she thinks she might be adopted, right?
Yeah. So, but in the books, Claudia thinks that she thinks she can't be Janine's real sister because Janine's so smart.
She's like too much of a dork.
So she decides that she's must be adopted and she tries to find her birth parents. So we're going to flip that.
You're her birth parents?
No. Claudia decides that she doesn't want to be Janine's sister anymore.
Oh.
So she tries to get adopted by two middle-aged content strategy professionals.
A little bit of a departure from the podcast hosts, but...
Yeah, and they teach her about the magic of friendship or Christmas or, you know,
yeah.
or whatever.
I think that's good. Yeah. Adoption. Maybe they do adopt her.
Yeah. Adopt you know her. What?
And then
we can fold this into this new idea.
They do adopt her, then she moves away, hence Claudia and the sad goodbye.
She can move to Austin.
She moves to Austin. Yeah.
My final one is just Christy and Mr. Mom. Watson has a heart attack, so Elizabeth marries a real man and his maybe his business partner. I don't know. I haven't fleshed that
his
one
business
out,
partner.
His business partner, like it's a package deal. He moves in with him. You know, like.
Do you know what Watson does for a living? Because I don't. I feel like we.
he runs an insurance company.
In sewer ants.
You meant. The fictional character, Watson, right?
The fictional character, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know what Watson does in real life. He's an actor. On.
Yeah.
He's our favorite person.
Oh, he's the best. Mark Feuerstein?
Mark Feuerstein. Oh, yeah.
He and Jack talked about wrestling for 45 minutes. I sat there in stony silence.
He is a delightful person.
He's a lovely man. Yeah. We were so happy to chat with him.
And you, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
So much for coming on and chatting. I guess we'll share this doc with you that we captured all these ideas in.
That's best.
And just kind of falls in your court.
You know, you should actually, though, I would prefer it if you sent it through my agent so that it's like a legality thing.
We'll have our agent send it. Sorry. Yeah. We'll have our agent send it to your agent. Yes. Yeah. Is what we meant to say.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a guy with a mustache who looks a lot like me, but don't be fooled. We love the show. We're super excited to continue watching it.
Yeah.
We're excited for season three. We're excited to be on season three.
Yep.
Excited to star in season three.
Is there anything else that we should be telling folks about where they can find you, or maybe just to watch the show and download it?
Just to watch the show, and watch it from as many separate accounts as you can.
Yeah, okay. And if you got a VPN, maybe log in with that, just so it seems like an entirely new IP address. Right?
Yeah, no biggie. Just make it seem like if you watch it multiple times, just make it seem like it's 17 or 18 different people watching it, like per person.
Wow, the show.
Yeah,
the stats really spiked in. Latvia this week.
Where my wife is watching it on her account, I'm watching it on my account, and it's like completely scrambled my entire Netflix account, because it's like I'll watch like 18 documentaries about like people dying at sea, and then the Babysitter's Club, and Netflix is like, I don't know what to recommend to you anymore, man.
Like, I know, I feel like mine is like that too, and it's like, I guess we'll just recommend like more kid shows and Nazi documentaries.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, I've seen all the Nazi documentaries.
Well, that's we got to do the Babysitter's Club episode where they get lost in the boat. And then just we can combine those two things.
Oh, was that a super special?
That's a super special.
A super special.
That's a super special. Yeah, that one's pretty scary, if I remember.
Scary.
I think I have a whole stack of super specials here. I have 1 through 13, and I'm working my way through them again, looking for inspiration.
That one's a classic.
That's a good one.
It starts with, like, as you know, Claudia and Dawn love to sail. Yeah.
I know. Remember that, and don't they like boil seawater, or like, is there, I feel
they're
like
doing it in
storm.
It's very Robinson Crusoe, like, it happens. They get stranded on a desert island with a bunch of babies.
Baby island. That's a real book.
We read it.
I read it as a child.
We read it as two guys in their late 30s, early 40s.
It holds up.
There's also the one where they're snowed in the ski resort, and there's the busloads of children.
Oh, right. And like, I think the bus goes like off the road and gets stranded somewhere.
Yeah, I like that, because it reminded me of Winter Thunder, which was this novel that we had to read when I was growing up in Nebraska, because it's one of the few novels that's set in Nebraska. So we had to read all of them, all the Willa Cathers. And that was about like a school bus that overturned and like their brave struggle for survival.
Wow, you're calling Anne out. Shots fired at Anne.
Yeah.
Well, there were
no
babysitters.
IP infringement, Anne.
That, and I also recently read California Girls, you know, where they get the winning lottery ticket and then use the money to go visit Dawn's dad in California.
Right.
And they hang out with the We Love Kids Club.
There's also, in Aloha Babysitters, Stacy is in a helicopter crash.
Oh, right.
I haven't read that one. Aloha Babysitters.
So if you want to do some,
they
like,
get in so many like antics in these super specials.
Is Abby in that one? Aloha Babysitters.
It's a pretty late one, so it may be
maybe.
Abby.
I know she's in the London one. Abby, I feel like, was after my time. I'm sorry to say.
I mean, that's a pitch for us too. If you want to just bring, when you bring in Abby,
I'm going to play Abby's dead father.
It's two
dead fathers.
SEO strategists who move in next door to Christy. You know?
Yeah, we'll be Abby and... What's Abby's sister's name now? I've already
Anna.
Forgotten.
Abby and Anna. Yeah.
We'll be Abby and Anna.
Yeah.
The Stevenson,
I think,
sisters.
I can play scoliosis.
Mm. Yeah.
You can have a...
And we could be twins. We read as twins.
She
has her bat mitzvah. Abby has her bat mitzvah.
Abby's lucky 13.
Yeah.
Jack, anything else?
Those are all my notes. We'll obviously have our agent send your agent these pitches, and we'll, we'll keep talking. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. It's so nice to see you guys again.
Yeah. If everyone listening to this wants to experience the Babysitter's Club Netflix show, the best way to do that is at patreon.com/BSCC podcast.
Yeah. You don't need to watch it, because we really do a thorough job of recapping it. So you just go straight to the source, you know? Please watch the show. It's very good. We love it so much. We're so happy to be experiencing the continuing story of these girls, and it's great. So thank you, Rachel, for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Goodbye. I should say, I guess, Claudia is wearing a bra now, and the way she talks, you would think that boys had just been invented.
We could be bra salesmen.
perfect. Thank you.
Bye, guys.